Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Good morning, and welcome back to the show once again. Today is March the 5th. I still can't believe it. Felt like the year just started, and already we're in the month of March. However, today we have an exciting show for you guys. I'm not sure where our listeners right now that may be tuning in with us are located, but we are here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and it's a beautiful day today out there. It's actually lovely.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Have you been out?
Yes, I got up because, girl, let me tell you, I've been catching. I've been cat sitting for my cousin since last Sunday. And let me tell you, this cat is kind of working my nerves because it's still a wrench in my routine. I have to be getting up extra early in the morning. Mind you, I have to be at work at 7 a.m. So I have to be getting up early extra in the morning to take care of his litter box, make sure he has fresh water and food down. So this morning, you know I'm a germaphobe and a clean freak. I had to put some sheets that needs to be washed right now to cover the furniture to keep some of the excess cat hair off the furniture. And so this morning I got up and I swept and I dust some of the stuff down, try to wipe down some of the air, but I'm like, I can't, you know, before I went to the gym. So that has been my morning. So I have been out, but, you know, I just told my cousin, I said, make sure tomorrow you come and pick up your cat, else I'm taking it to the Humane Society. I can't. So that's my story. That's been my week, getting up extra early to take care of this cat that is so needy. On top of it, because they really think they're people. He wants to cuddle.
Oh,
you walk through the door, he's like, and he wants to
sit. You're a good friend, because I don't care who you are. I'm not watching the cat.
Well,
at all.
My cousin, the thing with him right now, he said they're moving into, him and his family are moving into a new apartment. And he's staying with one of his friends for the week before the apartment is ready. I guess they're moving in between yesterday and today, they're supposed to move in. But the friend that he's staying with until the apartment was ready this week is allergic to cats. So that's why he needs somebody to watch the cat for the week.
Oh, that's a good excuse.
So I'm like, oh, my gosh. But, you know, and I am a cat person. I actually do prefer them over dogs. I'll have to say that. But I did not know how much, they're not a lot of work. They're really low maintenance with dogs because you don't have to constantly be walking them because he does use his litter box. But, I mean, it's the fact that, as I said, I don't like to put on my clothes or sit anywhere and get up and I have what a cat here or a dog here on my clothes. So, you know, that is what is driving me crazy. So I literally had to take sheets right now that I need to go to the laundromat to wash, because the comforters are just too big to fit in the machine, even though it's an industrial-sized machine, because it kind of ruins the material on the inside of the comforters. I don't know if you know what I mean. It gets all rubbled up, and I can't get it smooth. So what I've been doing over the years, I take my heavy comforters to the laundromat. So I had to go take those out that I have, because, you know, my brother was here and whatnot, so we had changed a lot of the comforters off the bed. So I have those to go wash. So I had to take those. Luckily, I had these things to do to cover some of the furniture to keep all that hair off the furniture. So that's my story, girl. But, yeah, the cat has got to go. So basically, that's all that's going on. But needless to say, guys, wherever you are in the world tuning in with us, we thank you as usual for spending your Saturday with us, with all the things that you guys could possibly be doing. Continue to tune into the show. We're here, the ladies of Tea Talk Time, every Saturday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. You know, tell someone else about the show and have five other people call in with you and spend your Saturday with us. You know, we have great discussions. We try to give you as much insight and information as we can, both from our experiences, life experiences, other people's experiences, and also research that we have done. But these are still just the opinion and perspective of Dee and myself. So,
and most importantly, we keep it real.
Exactly. We do. We keep it real. We keep it transparent as we try to stay as true to ourselves as we possibly can. So with that being said, today's discussion is going to be love and life after divorce. And it may be a sensitive topic for a lot of people because we all know heartbreak is never good and nobody enjoys going through heartbreak or divorce, especially when kids is involved, years is involved of you loving this person, you giving your all to this person, but it's life and it happened. And is it possible for you to find love after divorce? Absolutely. Yes, it is. And sometimes you come out of those divorces and relationships a better person, having a better understanding of who you are and the things that you can do differently in your next relationship, or the things that you may have did or contributed to the breakup of that relationship, if you had any role to play in it at all, that you know that you can now move on into your next life or your next relationship as a better person, you know, more, a wholer person, and having more insight about who you are, because you spend so much time trying not to only understand you, but understand somebody else and bringing your world together. So we hope that any information that we may share, someone may benefit from it, and somebody may take some, have some takeaways or something to gain from any information that we may pass on today.
In this show, I do want to add, even though it's called Love and Life After Divorce, anyone has been in a real committed and serious relationship that ended for whatever reason, married or not, definitely take some of the information in today's show and use it as well. You know, there's people who have decided to go ahead and get married, had a wonderful relationship, and it just ended for whatever reasons. And the same goes for those individuals that had meaningful relationships that did not involve you guys walking down the aisle. So, again, even though the title is Love and Life After Divorce, it relates to people, obviously, as the title suggests, that people that are married or were married, and their insights and ideas as it relates to getting your life back together and dating. So, again, it's anyone that might have been in a long-term or a committed relationship, married or not, can definitely take some information that we share today in today's show and relate it to your current situation.
That is absolutely right. That's absolutely correct, Dee, because the reality of it is marriage to a lot of people is just a piece of paper. You know, that's all it is. It's just really the legal standpoint or the legal status of that, that you now have my last name. So that's what some people determine marriage are, because you have common law relationships. And common law relationships are relationships that you have been with somebody over 5 years, and you guys are living under the same roof. You are partnering with each other. You're co-parenting. You have kids together. You're doing all of that stuff as if you were married. And some
In some cases, oh, go ahead. You're about to say what I was about to say.
And I was going to say, and some states actually hold legal obligations to those relationships, especially I believe some states is after 5 years and others is after 10 years. If you're
person, in certain states is considered common, your common law wife,
yeah,
and husband. In some states, even less, even in lesser time.
Oh, okay.
Where I know in some states is after. Get me the line. I could have swore I saw it was after 12 months.
Oh wow. I know for the state of Texas it's after 5 years, and for the state of Florida I believe it's as long as the person even have, I think it's after 5 years too in Texas, or it's after 4 years, something like that. And as long as they have, like, say, their registered ID identification and all of those things, or had the home, even in during the course of the breakup, you can't necessarily put that person out. You legally have to go to court to get that person evicted from your premises if forever, for whatever reason, you guys are, you know, choosing to part ways and that person is residing in your house and you want them to get out. You know, if they have ID, bills coming to the home, you know, ID meaning state ID, driver's license, insurance, all of that type of things, passport information, if they have any type of legal document that the state require, as that's a legal binding identification. You cannot just put them out if they refuse to go. You have to go through the court system in order to get them out of your house. So, you know, again, We're giving this information because, you know, a lot of people may not know that. And I know in the state of Texas, too, it's after 5 years, and that person has legal rights as well to any assets that you may have acquired during that relationship. They can actually take you through court whether to get money from your 401k, if you started a business, you bought a home, even though legally you guys are not married because they believe in common law union in those states. And I can only speak for Texas and Florida because those are the states that I have lived in, and I have known actually of different relationships that have gone through some of those issues and had to even go through the legal process, even though there were actually no physical wedding or marriage that took place between the couples. It was just because they were together for that long and one person wanted to be vindictive because of whatever reason or was hurt that much and wanted to get back at the other person. So they decided to take the legal route in whatever issues that they may have had they were trying to resolve. So I give all that information to say you guys still have to be careful too when you get into long-term relationships, whether you're thinking it's non-marital or you're just living together, because depending on the state that you're in and who you are and what is causing the breakup or what's going to cause a split, it can be, you could go through the whole process of the legal situation, the stress, and all of that as if you guys were married too. Especially if you're dealing with somebody that is may not maybe be bitter or resentful or, you know, is petty and just don't want to handle things like adults if that relationship is coming to an end or a marriage.
So, question as to, is there a life after divorce?
Yes.
When we look at the statistics and how it relates to or what it suggests about marriage, the divorce rate every 5 years to every decade increases. It jumps. And what one cannot ignore is those lives that are created during the course of a marriage or a relationship, like the children, the family, the unity, the oneness. I really believe no one gets into a relationship or a marriage with the intention of it not lasting. I dare to venture out that no one, I dare to say that no one gets into that type of a committed relationship thinking or with the impression that this is going to be a short-term situation. At least no one that is seriously serious about having a loving and healthy relationship. So when the relationship gets to the point in which it is no longer salvageable, either one party may feel the need to exit the situation, or both may agree that this is just not working out and decide to split and go separate ways. With that being stated, for others, some people are okay. Some people are good bounce back people. Well, this relationship's over with, or this marriage is over with, and then within 6 months, they're in a new relationship or married within the 6 to 12 months, depending on the laws in that state. And a lot of people tend to say, wow, how was that person able to bounce back so quick? Or, well, maybe that person really didn't care about the individual that they were with initially. And that's not always the case. We all deal with situations differently. Whereas you may have one person that's quick to bounce to another relationship, you have others that sit back, internalize what happened, and are not as ready to jump forth into something else. You know, I've been married and divorced, and speaking from the standpoint of a divorcee, sometimes depending on where your relationship was or where your marriage was at the time the divorce was over with, your marriage could have been dead months before or the divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just because that divorce was over with January 1st does not mean that just because you started dating somebody January 15th that you just jumped into another situation. No, it's very well possible that for the past X amount of time, you had been really mentally detached from that marriage. And I say the same thing as far as relationships. Maybe you can or can possibly relate as well. We all go through a stage in any relationship where you meet someone, you connect, and you're like, you know what, I like this person. There's the infatuation that comes with it, and then you have the wonderful honeymoon stage where everything is roses and peaches and cream, and he calls you and you get butterflies, or she texts you and you're like, that's my woman, you know, and you can't wait to see her again and you can't wait to see him again. Then once the representative fades away and you actually start revealing the real you, or less, I would say the real you, you start, some of your imperfections start to show. And then that person makes a decision, or you make the decision to decide, you know, honeymoon phase is over. We done hit a couple of bumps in the road. Let's work this out. You work this out regardless if you go to the courthouse and get married or not, and you guys work through a relationship that has both highs and lows. And then there comes a point when you're kind of like, well, dang, I really can't remember the last time I really liked this person. Or maybe this wasn't the right choice for me, or you're unhappy because of any numbers of things. And then you get to the point where you are mentally detaching yourself from that situation. A lot of times the other person can feel you pulling away too. And then you get to the point where you say, you know, this is no longer working. And I will pose this question to you, Stacey.
Mm-hmm.
Just like through a natural progression of life, everything's not always perfect. When a relationship ends, are you that person that needs to sit back and basically regroup before you are open to another relationship? Or are you the type of person that you're like, well, next? You know, or, and I think there's three different ways people go here. You either say, it's over, I don't want to deal with nobody right now, let me get myself together. Two, I'm ready for the next because I don't want to be alone. Or three, whatever happens, happens. I'm not looking for nothing right now, but if it shows up, I'm open to it. Which one of those three do you think that you would or commonly fall into? Because I believe those are the three areas that people normally gravitate to. I'm done, I'm ready, or if it happens, it happens.
For me, I personally am the kind that I have to do a self-evaluation, to sit down and try to figure out if, you know, what did I do or what did I contribute or what did I not do in that relationship or what caused it to end. So I'm the person that likes to take the time to figure that out and spend some time with myself. And that time, and it's also taking time to heal, because the thing about it is, and I've seen it happen many times to a lot of women, you know that policy that we have all, some of them, not all, but some of them are subscribed to, the best way to get over somebody is to get under another person. What happens is when they do that, is they do not take the time to emotionally heal. So when you get into that next situation, then you cannot necessarily emotionally bond with the new person that you're with, because you're either still holding on to that hurt or that breakup, or you're still in mourning. So you're doing yourself a disservice, as well as to me, you're doing that other person a disservice, because you're just wasting each other's time and it's something to do. And I've seen situations where it hasn't worked out because, and they were like, I didn't even realize or look at it like that. I didn't even think of it. You know, I'm talking about girlfriends that I've had conversations with. I'm like, but you didn't even get over that person. You didn't figure out what went wrong or even heal properly. So how you thought you were going to bond with this new person when you're still harboring all of that baggage from the last relationship? So, you know, I am an advocate of taking the time to heal and taking that time to reevaluate yourself and reevaluate, you know, I guess whatever responsibility that you need to take for yourself for that relationship not working or what broke down or, you know, what happened, because it takes two people to have a relationship. And I don't believe that everything is just all one person's fault. It may be unknown to you probably because sometimes we don't communicate well with each other of what you may have done that caused that person to shut down or this person to act a certain way or whatever it is. But, you know, I think all of us play a role in the relationship at some point. And we may shut down at one degree to some point in the relationship or take each other for granted, whatever the situation is, or we're just not a right match for each other. But, you know, but that's my policy. So I hope that answers your question, Dee.
Okay. For me personally, it just depends. It depends on where I am. I might be at the point where I'm like, you know what, that didn't work out. I'm ready to see what else is out there, and I'm mm-hmm. open. Excuse me. I've had a situation where I dated someone, it didn't work out, and I did need some time because I wasn't over that person. And it took me a while. I needed a long time to get my mind right, because even though I ended the relationship, and this wasn't a marriage, I ended the relationship, I still needed time, because anybody that would have came after him would have been compared unfairly. It would have been, you know, it just, and I agree with you, you need to definitely, take time if you feel that's what's necessary. I've been in a situation where I've ended my marriage, I was really ready to start dating and couldn't wait till the divorce papers were finalized. I don't know, that may sound harsh or cruel, but that's really where I was at that point. My marriage was over. I was ready to date, and mm-hmm. I didn't need time to sit and reflect and see whether or not I want. I was like, well, hell, I'm still young. I want to see, you know, I'm just married for, you know, over a decade. I wanted to see what else I could you know, what other opportunities were out there, what other great, wonderful, amazing guys that I was missing out on. So I think for me, it depends on where that relationship was and where I was mentally when that relationship ended. Again, like I said, at the end of my divorce, I was ready to date. At the end of dating someone and it didn't work out, and this was after my divorce, I was like, wait a minute, let me regroup here. So I think people need to take a true evaluation as to where they are. And you know how you are as a person. Mm-hmm. Some people, I've talked to guys who said that they cannot be alone. Like, once that relationship was over with, they jump into another one because they can, or they feel, and this, some women are like that too. I saw a meme on Facebook. It basically said, everybody's jumping in and out of relationships while I'm sitting over here trying to find one person I can like them for more than one day. And I thought that was rather funny because people do jump in and out. But people have really good bounce back games. For me, it just depends on how that last relationship and my mental space was at that time.
And that is a fair answer, because I think a lot of people think that way. But, you know, the fascinating thing that I find of all the many, you know, psychology sites that I've been on, websites, articles that I've looked at, the number one thing that they advise anybody with is because they do believe that life, as we, you know, said at the beginning of that you can have a fabulous and a fulfilling life after divorce. You definitely can, or after a breakup, because as we said, some people are in relationships for as long as people are married, and it's especially whatever state you're in, some of it is even considered to be common law, that you still can have a fulfilling life after that relationship, but they do suggest that you take time to heal. Like, that's one of the number one thing I found in all the psychologist website, all the articles, all the blogs. That's the number one thing that everybody recommends, is that you do take that time to heal and spend some time alone with yourself before you get back into that other relationship, because, as you said, there could be, as you said, for us to think that you can possibly because the bottom line is, and the truth is, the idea that you may come out of a long-term marriage or a long-term relationship without any emotional baggages, is that's delusional. It really is, because we are human and we hurt. And, you know, and you give your years and your time to this person, you know, your vulnerability and all of that type of stuff, if, you know, if that's the kind of relationship you had. So when that person decided or you decided you're going to walk away for whatever reason, I'm sure there's still some residue and there's still some scar and there's still some hurt there. So, you know, so that's why I'm like, I don't subscribe to, you know, getting under somebody else is the best way to get over the other person. But
right.
To each his own.
And that's in,
yeah.
It's actually using someone, too.
Well,
if you're
exactly.
dating someone with the idea that this person is going to help me, you're using that person.
And it's selfish, too.
And it can backfire because
and
at the end of the day, you may be using that person. You may end up falling for that person, even though
exactly.
you are not giving your all, and they fall all the way back. And here you are in another failed relationship because you didn't go into it with the right mindset and intention and purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we never really we pose a question. We give our views and our takes about it, understanding anyone and everyone are definitely entitled to their own opinions and their views and how they feel about whatever topic we discuss. We always also try to do our research and our due diligence in order to come with you with some pertinent information on how you can either utilize the information shared today in your everyday life or maybe help someone else.
Did
do a little bit of research. I love, there's a website called livestrong.com, and they have some really great articles about anything and everything from water consumption, wonderful recipes, love life, and relationships. And there is one particular article that is truly fitting. Again, it's on the livestrong.com website. And the topic of the article is the 7 stages of grief with divorce. Some cases for this show, we're going to talk to the people that have been divorced as well as those individuals who have been in relationships and the breakup feels like a divorce, okay? So if you follow me. The article was actually wrote last year by Allison Williams and basically goes through the 7 stages of grief. And, of course, I will preface this by saying not everyone's divorce or breakup is the same. Again, it just depends on you, how deeply you are attached and involved in that relationship, and how you handle and how you cope with things. But here goes the 7 stages, as she put it. Now, I'm not sure if it's in any specific order, but because it's not numbered, but these are pretty much consistent with any breakup. So I'll just get back into it, or I'll go into it. Number one is the denial stage.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically states that you may carry on with your normal life, going about your normal routines, and refuse to believe the reality of what's happening in your life. And she says this stage may also be characterized by a sense of shock, numbness as to what happened, although you may appear normal. In fact, you may be going through many emotions. So I can relate to that, a denial stage that this is really it. This is the end. So that's number, there's one. Two is pain and fear. And depending upon how dependent you were on this other individual or the relationship, you may experience fear as to what's going to happen next. Where am I going to stay? How am I going to be able to handle these bills? Pain, emotional pain, because, of course, it may be a heartache that you're experiencing. I would hope so. Some type of just overall fear and pain. So I'm pretty sure we all can relate to that. Once that type of feeling, once a relationship has ended, I'm pretty sure that if you cared about that person at any point, there was a level of fear and pain that you experienced. The third one she lists is the anger state. And she basically states, you're looking for someone to blame for this terrible thing that's happening to you in your life. She says you could have justifiable anger towards your ex, or you may feel anger towards in-laws, parents, friends, and even children. She goes on to say, while it is normal to feel some degree of anger, your feelings seem out of control or directed against the wrong people. You should seek professional help. Again, this is coming directly from the Livestrong website. So number three, she states, is anger. Number four on her list is the bargaining stage. And again, from the article, she basically states, you may promise to change certain behaviors only if you had another chance. Now, the bargaining is generally comes from, I can just assume, the person who does not want the relationship to end.
No, it actually comes from both ways. Because you see, that step to your listing is also the step that I had to go through when I was doing my life counseling course with my mentor. It's the same step. The thing that she's listing is the same categories that they say the psychologists say the brain and the human mind and body go through when you're dealing with grief or loss. So if the relationship is ending, so they still categorize it as a loss. It's something you're mourning. So you're bargaining with yourself that you're not going to do this or that again in your next relationship. Or the person that is trying to stay is bargaining with you that I'm not going to do this or I'm not going to do that again. So it works for both parties. And we sometimes don't keep the promises that we make. It's like, for example, you know, if you're praying to God or you're trying to get out of a situation, you're like, God, please, please help me. I'm not going to do this again if you get me out of this. But as soon as he gets you out of it, give you a couple months later, you do the same thing. That's what the bargaining stage is. You're bargaining with yourself or the other person is bargaining with you that I'm not going to do this or the other again. But, yeah, hey, we're all humans. It sometimes doesn't – they don't hold up their end of the bargain, or you don't hold up the end of the bargain to even yourself. So it can go either way.
Okay, so the bargaining stage could either be that you're communicating to your ex-lover that you're going to – or you tell yourself
that you're not going to do something. Yes.
That you're not. But is that really a bargain at that point?
Because
you deciding, I could be wrong, but that's just you deciding to do better in your next relationship. Like, say, for instance, my situation is, this is an example, people.
Yeah. Hypothetical.
Hypothetically, say for instance, in my relationship, I cheated, and I go to my ex and say, "Hey, I won't do that again." To me, that's bargaining. Let's try to work things out. But if I say in my next relationship, I'm not going to cheat again, because I acknowledge that that is not proper behavior in a relationship, I don't think that's bargaining at that point. Because all I'm doing is looking at, you know, my situation and saying I need to do better.
Right.
This is what happened in my last situation. I just need to make sure I'm not cheating again. You know. Bargaining.
Well, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, but it's still you talking into you, because we all have a moral compass that guides us. Some of us let our moral compass guide us more than others, or some of us let our, you know, selfish ways about us guide us more than the moral compass. Still, you having a conversation between yourself and that moral compass within you that is guiding you. So I think, you know, I could be wrong, but I'm just going by, you know, having to sit with all these psychiatrists and psychologists who study the human brain and our behaviors, is that's what the premises on which they still regard it as you sometimes bargaining with yourself, because it's a conversation you're having with that moral compass about you, whether you want to call that your conscious, your inner person or you trying to be better about something that you won't do in the future.
Okay. There you have it. And I think I was off on my numbers. So we got the bargaining stage. I believe that's number five. Number seven is the guilt stage. She says, basically, your divorce may not be your fault. Equally, you may not be able to lay the blame squarely at your ex's door. However, at this stage, it is normal to think about how you could have done something differently.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could have prevented the situation to make your marriage work. She says, at this stage, we question the effort we made and our behavior. This can result in an overwhelming need to turn back the clock to make things better.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the guilt stage. The final stage, number six, is the depression stage.
Right. And we all know what depression is. She basically explains that it's normal. All of these stages are normal to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
You can be dealing with depression from the beginning or throughout the entire course of your recovery stage. But it is very, very important that we identify these stages and measure how these, how these stages that we experience, how they may be impacting our lives. If depression is to the point in which we are not eating and we're losing weight, or we're not being productive at work because that's all we can think about, we do need to definitely pay attention to those things because, you know, what happens a lot of times in our personal life can impact the rest of our lives and how we communicate and deal with each other or other people that have nothing to do with the crisis that we're experiencing. The last phase that she lists, again, I'm not sure if this is in any particular order, the last stage, and I believe this would be seven, is the acceptance stage.
Yes.
She says, at some point, you will begin to accept the situation. You'll realize that life has changed and that it will not return to how it was. Despite this, you feel okay and know that you can move on. Embrace the strength and allow yourself to believe in your ability to be resilient, to cope, and to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that acceptance, I think a lot of times people start to feel better throughout the grievance stage and think that they're accepting it. Now, when you accept the end of a relationship, you no longer desire to be back or that person be back in your life. This is my opinion. And you're okay with moving on. You don't have a feeling of trying to get back with that person, and you definitely don't have a desire to get back at that person.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to get back with that guy or girl, and you're not trying to get back at them for some type of revenge, purposes of revenge. And I think a truly healthy person can go through all of those emotions. But once you're able to get past that and move on through life, you really open up yourself to a whole bunch of different possibilities. Your next princess or prince charming may be sitting next to you at a comedy show,
okay,
you know, while you're on a date with somebody else. Comedy show probably wasn't example because if I'm going to a comedy show, mainly not, I'm going on a date. So that's just another example. Could be sitting next to you at the table over at a coffee shop, or could be your coworker or your good friend for the past 10 or 15 years. You know, we all go through life, we all go through experiences, and I hate when I hear, or I won't say I hate, I just think it's rather unfortunate when I hear people who have been in relationships or have been hurt, and they have the desire to be in a relationship but has vowed never to be in one because they've been hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And my idea is we've all been there. We've all have had situations in which we've either played the fool or we got the shorter end of the stick or that we've been hurt. And life, you just got to get back up, jump back on,
and keep it pushing. Maybe you married the wrong person. Maybe you have had kids by the wrong individual. Or maybe you did allow the love of your life to get away. Either way, I do feel that regardless of your situation, being newly single or been single for a while, you always, if you truly desire to be in a relationship and haven't convinced yourself otherwise, you have to believe that there is someone out there that will love you for who you are, accept your goods and your bads, and be willing to work with you through the things that you may come short of.
Mm-hmm.
I truly, truly believe when you have a positive outlook on your future as it relates to a relationship, instead of having the idea that there's no good women or there's no good men out there, trust me, someone else is believing, of the opposite sex, is believing that you don't exist either.
And the other thing that I would say, Dee, that it's surprising me she didn't list that list, even though, as I said, it's the same, that particular list is the same list of the different stages that they say the human mind and body go through when you're grieving or grieving the loss of or death or something like that. It's actually the same step. But the only thing I would like to add is that as human beings, especially women, is forgiveness. And the forgiveness is not just for that person, it's also for you forgiving yourself as well. I do believe that we need to learn to forgive ourselves, to forgive whatever mistakes that you may have made, whatever you think that you could have done better or didn't do, or all of that stuff. That is very important, I think, too, within the healing process after the acceptance stage. After you have accepted that this relationship has ended and this person is not coming back or whatever it is, and you're ready to move on, then you also have to forgive yourself and you have to forgive that person in order to have another healthy relationship to be whole. Because I will say it again, a lot of women have issue with forgiving themselves. They don't forgive themselves very well. And that's some of the reason why they still harbor, even though they may have accepted, they didn't forgive themselves, they still harbor some issues going into the next relationship because you haven't said, I'm human, I messed up, I could have done better, but it's what it is. I'm going to try to be better, and I'm going to do better in the next situation. So that's the only thing I would add to that list is forgiveness.
Right. And that's, you're right, and that goes back to, for those of you that listen and tune into us every week, that what Stacy just said may sound a little bit familiar to the topic that we had a couple of weeks back about baggage.
Baggage.
Bringing baggage in. Mm-hmm. Right. Bringing baggage.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm eating this croissant, and it's good. But bringing baggage into our relationships, and you have to acknowledge, identify, and release. And part of that release process is actually being able to forgive. And forgiveness, like Stacy just stated, goes both ways. You got to forgive whoever has wronged you, regardless if they've asked for that forgiveness, or if you can, or even if you can, you don't have to communicate that to them. If you can't reach out or don't care to reach out, you have to forgive that person, and then you need to forgive yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that is very, very true. It's very important about closure.
Yeah, it is very important. And, you know, Dee did her research, and I also looked at a few things. And I'll just add to that list, you know, we talked about, because one of the number one thing that was on the article that I found, and this was actually the article was entitled, Just What Our Topic Is, Dating After Divorce and How to Start Over, was the title of that article that was published on the 17th of February of this year. So it was right on time or right after Valentine's Day. And, you know, we talked about the first thing, as we discussed before at the beginning of the show, the number one thing that I found across all the psychology websites, all the articles, was take the time to heal, which we do encourage that. At least for me personally, I endorse that. I approve it. That, I think, is very important. And the other thing that I want to point in, apart from the forgiveness, that this article stated too as well, which I encourage, is having no shame. And to me, that comes under the forgiven part, that have no shame about the fact that you were in, that you've been divorced, or, you know, because people look, some people regard that as a failure, because nobody get married to get divorced. You know, nobody goes into a marriage saying, I'm going to get a divorce, or whatever it is, or you're going to be in a long-term relationship with someone where you have kids and property and investment and time and emotion and years spent thinking that it's going to end in divorce. So if that relationship failed or has severed for whatever reason, have no shame about it. Because, as I said, sometimes nobody promises that anyone is going to be with us for the rest of our life. Nobody promised us that. Not even God promised us that. Yes, the Bible is against divorce, but the only time the Bible does encourage divorce is in abuse situation or infidelity, and that's biblical. It is there. It's in there in black and white. So even our Maker didn't promise us somebody's going to be with us forever, or that you should stay with people under any circumstances. But to each party or each situation or each person that's going through whatever, you're going to make that decision based on your moral compass, based on your relationship and your ideals and your, you know, culture and whatever it is that you have that is guiding you as to why you're going to stay with that person or you're going to stay throughout that relationship. But, you know, I know I'm rambling, but I'm saying all this to say, don't have any type of shame if that relationship does end. And the other thing that they talk about is when you're ready to date, it's the date outside the box, D, and I love that part of the article, meaning because you've been in a marriage or a long-term relationship for so long and you're used to a certain routine, you're used to habits and, you know, traditions and all of that type of stuff, what the article is encouraging to do is to date outside the box, is to think and open your mind to the possibility of attracting somebody different from what you probably was used to or what you're accustomed to. And, you know, just open your mind, your heart, and be adventurous, and you never know what's going to come out of it. So that's basically what I really wanted to add from the article and the research that I did. And they also encourage moving slowly, taking your time. Don't let anybody rush you, and don't rush yourself either. Enjoy life and enjoy the moments of whether it's dating or seeing someone and just enjoying life and enjoying that time. You know, don't rush into it being thinking that, oh, this is the next one. You know, you have already did that, done that. Just make sure you're honest with whomever you're dating or, you know, whoever you choose to date, whether it's exclusively or you're just dating across the board. Just make sure you're honest with that, the individuals that you are, you know, courting or spending time with, that there's no unrealistic expectations or obligation. This is where I'm at in my life. And if they can choose to be a part of it or not be a part of it, but, you know, so I thought that was a great article. So that's pretty much what I wanted to add. Yeah, I know I rambled a lot, guys, but hopefully you guys got something out of what I just said.
That's true. I completely agree with everything. Definitely that she said.
Mm-hmm. She had one thing else, Judy, that was a good point, reinventing yourself. And that's like rediscovering different things about yourself that you probably forgot that you liked it to do or you enjoy doing. You know, whether it's working out, hanging out with your girlfriends, traveling. Because, you know, sometimes when you're in long-term relationships or marriages, your whole world become just the kids, that person, and the routines and the tradition and everything else that you guys do. You forget to be in touch with yourself and to spend time with yourself and to have alone time and, you know, enjoy the little things about life that you enjoy. So, yeah, reinventing yourself, I am all for it. You know, get back to who you are. And even people that are in marriages right now, I encourage. I was having this conversation with one of the girls that I work with at work, and I was saying to her that I encourage people, if you're in long-term relationship or even marriages and you're living together and so forth, that you have a weekend getaway where it's not you and that person, it's you and your best girlfriends, and you just get away for a couple of hours, even if it's just for a weekend or even a day, where you spend that time for yourself. Get in touch with who you are, reconnect with yourself, so that way when you come back to the person or you come back to that union, you don't feel, you know, depleted, or you don't feel like so much has been taken from you, that you have so much thing has been withdrawn, you have no deposits to give. So I encourage that as well, because she was planning, and how the conversation started was she said she heard me talking to somebody else, and she and her girlfriends are planning a weekend getaway, and she thinks she needs that at least once a year. And she was explaining this to her husband that it's not that she's trying to get rid of him or her little daughter, but she feels she needs this. And I was like, I believe it works. I believe all of that need that. And that's why I have no problems with the men that want their man cave, because I want my little, you know, a nice bathroom where I can have my alone time too, light some candles, play some music, and you stay out of the bathroom for a couple of hours and let me be, soak the tub and do all of that. Go to your man cave. I believe in all of that stuff. So reinventing yourself, go for it. I give you the thumbs up on that one. And I think I'm done now.
Well, I'm good about closing it out.
So Dee, you had any other points, or, you know, you pretty much had to say, you know, your say and your take on it? Even
yeah,
though it's towards the end of the show.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. I think everyone needs to just be open to the possibilities that exist and not shut any doors, because you truly never know.
Mm-hmm.
I really think things happen for a reason. You just have to be open and be available for possibilities, but don't push or rush anything.
Yes, that is very true. As you said, move slowly in this article, you know, just taking your time. Don't let anybody rush you, and don't rush yourself either. Don't feel like you missed out so much you're trying to catch up, you know, because sometimes that's where you make mistakes. And your mind is clouded and your judgment is clouded too, because you're trying to rush things. You don't have time to clearly see what's going on and, you know, get back to who you are. As I said, reinvent yourself. So, you know, to close out our show, because we are 5 minutes left in the show again, as usual, we'd like to thank you, as always, for taking the time and spending your Saturday morning with us. We're here every Saturday, 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. Join us in the discussion. You know, have five other people join the show with you. This morning topic was love and life after divorce. And love is possible after divorce. You can have a fabulous life, sometimes even a better life than the one you had previously, because you may have learned some things, not just about yourself, but about being in the space and sharing your life with another human being. You learn sacrifice, tolerance, patience, all of those things when you have to share your life with someone else. So I think sometimes it makes you a better person for the next one. So we both endorse, you know, taking your time to heal, forgiving yourself, going through your acceptance, your denial, your grieving, taking it slow, you know, reinventing yourself, having no shame, forgiving, and just enjoy your life. You know, enjoy your life and get back in the game and have fun with life. Appreciate people, loving people, and all of that good stuff. Just be honest in everything that you do and the people that you're choosing to invite into your world. So, you know, follow us and all our social media tags. Everything across the board is the same. It's Tea Talk Time, both for Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And our website, which is www.teatalktime.com. If you guys have anything that you want us to discuss or any particular topic, or if you have an opinion on any topic that we have discussed, you can shoot us an email to, you can send it through any of our social media sites or through our website. We always try to respond to our listeners and
I'm trying to get back to you guys and, you know, do the shows based sometimes even off the opinion and feedback that we get from the audience. So we thank you guys, as usual, for tuning in and for listening with us. We do appreciate you. And I think that's it. I don't think we forgot anything else or to say anything else. Is there anything else, Dee?
Well, I think we really covered all bases.
Okay. Well, guys, you guys have a beautiful Saturday. We'll see you next week. The show will be available, too, for replay. If you want to share it with anyone, just check it out on www.blogtalkradio.com/teatalktime. So, you know, have a beautiful Saturday, guys. Enjoy your Saturday, and we'll see you next week.